As licensed security guards, you'll be required to join a union. The International Alliance of Special Police and Guards. These are your union representatives, Mr. Klepper and Mr. Lazarus.
Thank you, Clarence. The initiation fee is $30 payable now. If you can't pay, don't worry. We'll deduct it from your first paycheck. Thereafter, the weekly dues will be $15 and will be deducted automatically. The forms are in front of you on the desk. Sign them and pass them forward. Any questions?
Yes, I have a question. Minor point. What if we don't want to join?
It's a union shop. You want to work, you join.
Well, I don't want to speak out of school, but $15 a week, to me, seems excessive. Now, where does this money go?
Well, that money goes to your pension and welfare fund.
And when are the benefits paid?
When you're 65.
65?
Hey, what's with all the questions? This is your union.
It's for your own protection.
So shut up and sign a form.
Yeah, 12:40 a.m. Ow. WSBC. You are listening to the Hooli's Hooli. Welcome back to another week of fun-filled adventure.
That's right.
So shut up and sign the papers.
That's right.
Bill,
yeah,
saw you last night. It is Saturday night for our radio listening folks out there. But I saw you earlier this week. We do tape the show on Wednesdays.
Right.
Saw you last night.
Yes.
You were kind of revved up.
Uh-huh.
You had been to your first union meeting.
Well, that wasn't last night, but it was on Monday. I'd gone to my first ever union meeting as a member of the Local 3 here in Chicago.
Nice. And what union is that, Bill, for our radio listeners?
It's the liquor union.
It's nothing like the security guard union at the top of the show. That was a clip taken from the classic film Armed and Dangerous,
starring John
Candy and Eugene Levy.
One of my favorites.
And that was Kenny McMillan at the top there.
Yeah.
Some people might remember him from True Confessions as Robert Duvall's homicide
detective.
Go grab
it from
partner.
Blockbuster this weekend.
Good movie, True Confessions.
Absolutely. Ulu Grossbard directed.
Beautiful.
Rose Gregorio, his wife, is in the film. That is a classic film about two Irish brothers that one's a priest, one's a homicide detective.
De Niro and Duvall.
Going after it's the story of the Black Dahlia.
Yeah.
It's been done a few times. LA Confidential and then... I think your buddy Josh Hartnett tried to do something like that a couple
Close
years
buddy.
Ago as well. He was in there, your bud.
I miss Josh.
Yeah, me too. Bill, let's hear a little bit more about this union. How did it go?
It was great.
You're
a
very pro-union guy.
Yeah, it was great. I had a good time. And
but the element of that union, there's a little bit of what we just heard in that union hall meeting, the gavel. And everybody
there actually wasn't really, I mean, there wasn't, yeah.
Like, everybody round up, be
was
quiet.
Was it pretty loose or was it pretty strict?
Oh, it was very loose. But, you know, the funny thing is it always starts getting a little bit tense when people are, you know, we were negotiating a new contract for next year.
You're talking about money.
Talking about dough.
So what happens is the amendments of the union are pretty much
denied.
Red.
Denied.
And then,
oh no, the union's always money.
We go into
broken
Lano's,
gavel.
Section 1, Article 1, Section 2, Section 3, and then
right.
It says. Then we get to, like, you know, and our secretary treasurer reads out the, you know, all the stuff that we previously negotiated within, you know, the different articles within our handbooks. And then.
Have you ever looked at
it's
handbook?
Funny because he said, we get, all the time.
They got it
I'm
in
not
the
kidding
glove
you.
Box at
I got,
work.
I do. A guy will be like,
this
hey,
is
man,
not in my book.
He's like, you were supposed to be here and you were supposed to throw these cases to my shelf. And I'll say, here it is. Right here in my union handbook.
Section 12B.
I am not an employee of yours. I'm an employee of my company, and I do not have to do this per my union rules. Okay?
Yeah.
Do you have a bumper sticker on your car?
No, I don't.
Get one quick.
Everything gets heated up definitely when the money starts. People start when the gripes. You know, it's like, okay, somebody have a pitch. You know, these are new propositions that where they're going to try to negotiate within the new contract.
More money.
It's always more days off. It's always more money. You know, the typical stuff. But
hey, this was one bit that you told me that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
the one gripe where everybody goes, hey, and this is so American these days. Hey, can we get rid of President's Day and have Christmas Eve off instead?
Yeah, that was a big one.
Get President's Day. We want Christmas Eve off.
But see, the thing is, you know, and those are hard things to discuss, especially, you know, and I have to give all the guys in our union, especially our president, Pat Duff, and all those guys, they fight for us. So God bless them, because
they
get us such good things.
Yeah.
I mean, our benefits are, you know, awesome. So, and you know, the nice part about it was is before any of the employees that are at the meeting can actually start making their gripes, the president, Patrick Duff, comes out and says, you know, hey, look, I just want to remind everyone there are some things that are realistic and there's some things that are just unrealistic. Let's all be happy that we have jobs, that, you know, these are the benefits you're given. You've given some of the best in the world. Mm-hmm. And so let's not take for granted. And let's, in other words, let's not get out of complete ridiculous, you know, let's not come out of left field with some of our demands that you guys are going to ask, you know.
Come on, a Cadillac.
What are some of those ridiculous demands?
One guy wanted, you know, like, there's things where seniority, and it happens within all unions. Where
I want an old-style speedboat.
No, he wanted to be able to say, I want to be able to take my vacation whenever I want, not based on what the guy above me, this, you know, whoever the seniority guy is when he takes his vacation. And everyone's kind of like, yeah, in a perfect world, okay, fine. But, I mean, hey, if the guy, you know, if the guy takes vacation and you can't take your vacation that same week, sorry.
Yeah,
figure something else out.
Go look at the assessor's office.
Oh, I'm sure they have those same problems within, you know, county government.
You take
a
vacation whenever you want.
But
I got a story about that. I was there earlier this week.
I think the funny thing was is that
my only question is this.
Yeah.
Could you smoke indoors?
No, you couldn't. So it didn't have like
so
that.
It wasn't a true
it
union.
It didn't look like a scene out of Hoffa. It
didn't have the union
you
seal.
Know? It didn't look like the scene out of Hoffa where, yeah, like, you know, there's all kinds of guys smoking and like the one guy's like, what's the guy in the movie Hoffa?
Like
the guy
ties
red.
Down and everyone's sweating right. And yeah. Smoking.
The F word is said every eight words.
That's what I wanted. No. There's a fist fight going on in the corner.
This was very nice. We were fed.
What'd you have?
They had like Italian sandwiches. I think it was from Bari. I don't know. It was like a big layout. It was
very
great.
Good. No McCann's Irish Oatmeal?
No McCann's Irish Oatmeal.
That's a shame.
No. This show is sponsored by McCann's Irish Oatmeal, by the way, everybody. Go out and get yourself some. And if you're lucky enough, you can join a union if you eat enough McCann's Irish Oatmeal.
You'll be protected. Really?
You'll be protected.
You're starting the union for the International Oatmeal. Union for McCann's Irish Oatmeal
no,
lovers?
No, it's the International Union for Discriminating Oatmeal lovers.
Ah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well done. Well done.
Bill, now we get into the union stuff, but there was one gripe that you told me about that made a heck of a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
And this is something that has to do with the information age that we live in today.
Right.
Wow.
And I had this discussion with people recently. It came out that Facebook is listening in on our conversations. I don't know if you know this, Clay, but if you have the Facebook app downloaded onto your phone, Facebook has access to the microphone in your cellular phone.
They don't. You know why?
And they have a widget, essentially, which can listen in and follow you so that the next time you go on your Facebook page. So, Clay, we could be talking about, like, Nike shoes right now, like that great pair of, you know, Pippins that we had in, like, eighth grade.
The Pips.
Yeah. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I could go on Facebook later tonight and there could be an ad for those Pippins.
Yeah, right.
You know, like,
that's
they know.
That's creepy. But it's funny you mention that because I had my 36th birthday on June 7th.
Yes, happy birthday.
Thank you. I deleted my Facebook account. As a birthday gift to myself.
Smart.
Was it liberating?
It was liberating. I'm done.
Yeah. Never going back. See you in 6 months.
No.
It's like cigarettes.
There's no need.
Even when you got to like, I mean, even around Christmas time and you're going to sell some of your art and some of your work. And you're not
I got
gonna,
a
like,
website.
Get on there. Yeah, that's true.
Google my name. You
okay.
know how I do it.
Yeah.
Google Clay O'Brien Art. It'll come right up.
There you go. You got good SEO going.
Yeah. I got Russians doing my SEO.
Mm-hmm. Union Russians.
That's right. Yeah.
Congratulations
thank
on the birthday,
you. Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, thank you, thank you.
No, what I wanted to get at is somebody stood up.
So they're
the
not
union
watching meeting. Me is my point, hopefully.
Yeah,
they
not anymore.
The CIA and FBI are, but they're not.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the union hall meeting, a gentleman stood up.
Yeah.
And he said that one of your brands that comes through.
Yeah, he made a very interesting point. I did not know that they're doing this. Apparently, it does. At our competitor, now the employees at our competitor company, they're also part of the same union as we are. So we were able to listen to some of their gripes, and they could hear our gripes, and they were all very similar. But they've had an app. Not an app. I guess it is an app they've had where.
It's a web app, yeah.
It's a tracking system. So they can, in other words, the company can see where you are, not only do you have to fill out things like Salesforce Advantage, where it's like you map out
your
day.
They can track your actual whereabouts.
It's a GPS, essentially. They know exactly where you are at all times.
It's not a CRM platform. It's an actual web app that you download.
Exactly. So,
Billy can't sneak off.
But you know, the funny thing was, is our president of the union made a very interesting point. And the guy who had his initial gripe, and it was great, he said, there is a certain supplier within my companies, and they ask us to download an app. And technically, what the app is, it's for taking pictures so that of displays or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then these pictures are immediately, I mean, the app picks up the GPS on where the picture was taken, what store, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
And it goes into their database, and that's how they can compile marketing and stuff like that. But he was concerned, saying, this is like Big Brother, and his big concern was, if we're paying for our own personal cell phones, how can the company demand us to download an app on our own personal property that's tracking us?
Yeah.
Everyone agreed.
They said, the suppliers are benefiting from the data that is being compiled off of your phone.
It's free data.
They're
selling your data, exactly. So, and then what the president of the union said was, because other people said, well, why doesn't the company just pay for our full cell phone bills? And then the president of the union said, well, you can have it two ways. You could pay for it and write it off, mm-hmm. like most people do. But he said, we can actually propose that, you know, they pay our phone bills. But then what eventually they're going to say, he goes, what you're doing is that you're giving them also, if they're paying for your cell phone, they're going to know where you are at all times. Sure. Even they're going to know what you're doing outside of work. So do you guys want that? You know, and they were like,
no, you just turn it off when you're not at work. That's simple.
Well, ultimately, though, you're right. It is a form of Big Brother, and it's something that unions are now having to deal with, what happens within the tech space and how to regulate how their employees are being treated and profited from, you know. So it was an interesting part of just the change.
I thought it was an interesting point to have taken, especially in the liquor industry, because the liquor industry is the last bastion of industries that has not gone digital. No one has approached this yet.
I mean, there's parts of it that
are
digital.
There's people that are trying to do it, but due to post-prohibition laws, there's no way to pull it off yet. There's plenty of guys thinking about it, me included.
Oh, yeah.
But I do think that will, at some point, whoever takes the liquor industry digital, that's the white elephant. That's going to be a game changer.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, it is.
So if the unions start protecting themselves now and becoming aware of the tech side of things,
they're absolutely aware of it. You know, I was talking to, the secretary treasurer of our union who, you know, that's what we were talking about, how, you know, the future of our business eventually is going to become, a majority of it will be tech related.
Yeah.
And, we need to get smarter about how we protect ourselves within the union, you know, platform, against these advances within technology. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, just like all great Americans, everybody adapts.
That's right. So shut up and sign the paper.
That's right. That's right.
You're listening to the Hooli's Hooli. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be back after these short messages.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. And as in their grandfather's day, they are service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Big Guy Sausage is located at 7021 Roosevelt Road in Berwyn, right across from DeJewel's. We serve blue-collar gourmet food. That means Italian sausage, Polish sausage, Chipotle sausage, bratwurst, hot dogs, burgers, Italian beef and sausage combos, prime rib sandwiches, bacon-wrapped cheddar brats. Hey, what else you want? We got it. You ain't gonna leave here hungry. We're right down the street from Fitzgerald's. Come on by Big Guy Sausage after the Hooli's Hooli or before. Or call 708-317-5213 and we'll have it delivered or ready for pickup. Ask anybody who eats here. It's awesome. Big Guy Sausage on Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. Big Guy Sausage, sorry, we don't serve weenies.
Yeah, it's a little Huey Lewis working for a living right there.
Love the song.
Huey.
When I saw Huey, I think it was two summers ago, he opened with this. Fantastic.
Yeah, you saw him down at the docks at Montrose Beach.
Yeah,
right?
It was at good old Nick Hines' restaurant and establishment down there. They were producing a summer concert series that was at Montrose Beach. And
are they doing that this year?
Huey Lewis in the News. Last year, I think they had Boston down there, and then it was the year before it was Huey. I would imagine they're doing it. I don't know. I think it's 104.3 sponsors the event.
Oh.
Is that so oldies, 104.3?
I believe so.
Yeah.
So yeah, hey. Speaking of radio here in Chicago, and I know he's no longer on that one famous station that's better known for its indie rock music. But Tom Marker had an opportunity to meet him and talk to him last night from
XRT days,
former XRT. But he hosts an event at Fitzgerald's nightclub on Tuesday. It's the first Tuesday. Fitzgerald's obviously our old home.
Yeah.
I saw Bill and Kate Fitzgerald last night.
American Music Festival coming up.
Oh
man,
they got some. They got Dos Lobos,
the Blasters.
Yeah, they got a lot of good bands coming there. Obviously, the American Music Festival that goes there. It takes place over the 4th of July weekend at Fitzgerald's. If you've never been, go. You'll see some great music over 3 days.
It's awesome.
It's just
it truly
phenomenal.
Is awesome.
Yeah, Tribute of Source is going to be there. They're going to be performing. They're going to be doing. Tribute of Source becomes James Brown.
That's fun.
Which should be pretty cool. But last night, Tom Marker hosts this event, Blues Tuesdays, and a buddy of mine from work, give John Rotaco a little shout out here.
Hi, John.
He, was like, hey, I saw him a couple weeks ago. We were at the office on Friday. He's like, hey, man, I went to Fitzgerald and went to this thing called Blues Tuesday with Tom Marker. It's phenomenal. Next month when I go, you got to meet me up there and have drinks. It's awesome. Okay?
Yeah, right.
And to show you what the kind of stretch that this event that they're having over there, I mean, John lives in Aurora, and he was driving all the way into Berwyn to check this out on a Tuesday night. And there were people from all over the city and far suburbs there.
Blues bands?
It's one featured blues performer every month. But, I mean, Tom Marker has been a champion of the blues here in Chicago for so long. His connections in blues music, I mean, just so we're at the show, though.
Yeah.
And the gentleman that's performing passes out and faints and goes down and knocks into the keyboards.
Yeah.
And, obviously, I got up to see if he was okay. And it was a blood sugar thing.
I'm an EMT.
Right. But
and a union guy.
But being in Oak Park, and the amount of aging groove dogs and all the hipsters out there, yeah. There were easily two doctors.
Can you
in the
describe
audience.
What an aging groove dog is to our audience? What categorizes
like a guy with a full head of white hair wearing a fedora and a Weezer T-shirt, and he happens to be 55 or 60.
Right. It's like Bernie Sanders in like a dried head doctor in like a tie-dyed shirt and Birkenstocks.
That's exactly. Yeah, there's tons of those guys. But and they were getting like last night Fitzgerald's was packed with them. But the thing that happened was that this guy went down and then
was he holding a guitar?
He was. Yeah, he had this beautiful Gibson.
Did the guitar get hurt?
No, but what happened was they got him off the stage. The paramedics did come. They took him away. We got a phone call later from his agent or whatever that, they announced it on stage. He's doing fine. He's going to be released from the hospital tonight. He just, needed to get some sugar in his system.
Right.
But I said the range of Tom Marker to be able to, they're standing outside and I was outside having a cigarette and I could hear them discussing. And they're like, who are we going to call? Call this guy. I mean, there was another blues performer on the stage within 20 minutes wailing. I mean, just outstanding. And I was like,
yeah.
Only in Chicago could somebody do that. Could somebody be like, hey, we have an all-star blues
legend. Oh, there's a guy a couple blocks down.
Yeah. They got this guy. No, they got Oak Park Hill and this guy. They're like, call Roscoe McFarlane.
Right.
And Roscoe McFarlane shows up and just kills it. And I just, you know, I had a great time. So, you know, if anybody's ever doing anything on it in the first Tuesdays of every month, go to Fitzgerald's for Tom Arker's Blues Tuesday. Big plug for you there, Tom. Thanks for hosting me last night. I had a good time, though. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I could be into that.
You would love it. Yeah. You would absolutely love it.
Clay, how did you celebrate your birthday?
So basically, I worked and went to Al's Beef, got two hot dogs.
Yep. You go to Al's Beef and you get a dog, you don't get a beef?
No, I got two hot dogs, yeah.
Do you feel like once you've had Johnny's, you're not going to anybody else?
Yeah, it's hard to hold up to that. Okay. So
I kind of agree.
Disappointed, you know, when I got one shot at it.
Yeah.
So they don't fail on the hot dogs.
Right.
Every time, consistent. Right. The beefs, they're probably great too. Right. And then I went home to Screaming Children.
Yep.
Had ribs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, from Moretti's.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, over here on the Edison Northwest Park. Side. Yep.
Yep.
And then that's it.
That's it.
Very yep. nice birthday. Very
fell asleep on my couch.
Any gifts? Yeah, you don't have to wake up with
I
the
kids tonight. I got an AM/FM radio outdoor.
Oh, from Meg? That's what she got you?
They're still making those, huh?
Yeah. You wind it up.
I'm glad to hear that. So maybe somebody might hear this show at some point.
So listen to some baseball games. And I'll blast the show on Saturday. Too.
For sure.
Cool.
My neighbors. Who are from Assyria, so they probably won't care about the show.
They might have a show on this network. You
they
never
might.
Know.
Yeah.
Check this out.
Yeah.
I don't know if you do follow poker at all, World Series of Poker.
You know, I saw you. I mean, I know obviously.
Check this out.
I know obviously Aaron.
Check this
I know obviously
out.
Aaron and Ralph Massey, who we grew up with in River Forest.
Yeah, the Massey brothers.
St. Luke's with them. I know that those guys are professional players. But yes. Other than following them, I see their Facebook and Twitter feeds.
Yeah.
But I don't really, as far as the poker circuit, no.
Which, by the way, their Facebook and Twitter feeds are very entertaining.
I know they are, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, they posted this guy, kind of a rags to riches story. Kid from Oswego, Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's Oswego or Oswego. The guys I work with at Payline, a bunch of them are from Oswego, including Jeff Shea, our CEO.
Okay.
But anyway, this guy's name is Ben Keyline.
Okay.
Before last week.
Saying okay like 100 times, sorry.
Before last week, he was an Uber driver.
Oh, really?
Now he's a millionaire.
And how did he do it?
He won the World Series of Poker. He was a down on his luck, you know, poker pro. He had been driving Uber to make ends meet, and he won it. He's 30 years old. And he took down the 2016 World Series of Poker 565 Colossus 2 No Limit Hold'em.
Okay. See, that's just it. Like, what does that mean?
Wow.
I mean, there's so many different World Series of Poker tournaments. It's like, well, is this the big boy? The Colossus obviously would be the big one, right?
Yeah.
Or Colossus 2, maybe the second biggest one. I don't know.
Anyway, he's originally from Oswego, Illinois, and Keyline could be Irish, right?
Okay.
He's now living near Boulder, Colorado, but he banked his previous biggest score of $218,000 for a runner-up finish in January of 2015. That money must have been gone.
How's he broke? Because he's obviously gambling every
day. Well,
a lot
of these poker guys get backers.
Sure,
you know?
I understand.
So, like,
that,
when
yeah,
you
yeah.
win, all of a sudden, you know, it's like, hey, the VC guy who backed you is like, that's my money. Here's
right.
your $30.
Right,
you,
yep,
you
right.
Know?
Yeah.
Thanks for playing. So, yeah, he had been a runner-up in January 2015 on the circuit at the main event at the Choctaw in Durant, Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
Great venue.
Yep. And actually, Whitey Bulger's original cellmate at Alcatraz was the Choctaw Kid. A lot of people don't know that.
Cool.
Little tidbit for our gangster culture people out there.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, he had since run through his share of money and was dropped by a backer in January of this year.
Oh, okay, there you go.
And he said he tried to play on his own and sell action, but that didn't go well. He had to start driving Uber to pay the bills. Now Uber's got to get all over this. This is a great marketing campaign.
For
you know?
Sure.
But he said, you know, the two biggest scores of my life have come up at lowest points, he told reporters, welling up with tears after the win. I was thinking about joining the Armed Security Guards Union. I've had a really hard time lately, and I'm just trying to stay positive. I can't believe it's amazing. I'm elated. It's unreal. I play this stupid game all the time and get F-worded. I was ready to quit. I almost didn't come. I like when guys win something very spectacular and they have a life moment and they decide to use profanity in their quotes.
It's great.
Yeah. I'm so effing happy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's you're going to go far, sir.
You get their point across.
But anyway, he didn't come to the series because he wasn't going to go because he couldn't pay his bills. So he took a loan from his dad. And his dad bankrolled him. And, he did it. You know, after running kings into aces. And King Jack into Ace King, Keyline was down to a single ante with blinds at 1,500 and 3,000, nearing the end of the day on his second bullet in the event. I have no idea what any of this means. He miraculously survived the hand with rags And in orbit and a half later, he had picked up the last three pig pairs and a ton of good. Who cares? Anyway, you got 100,000 of the chips.
Yeah, okay.
He's doing it. Nice, all right?
He won it.
Yeah. Don't Antoine Walker it and blow it all, all right?
Don't.
Yeah. But that is one of the coolest tournaments because guys just come out of nowhere.
You should have walked over.
I mean, Chris Moneymaker.
Walked over to a blackjack table and put it all on one hand of blackjack.
Actually, you know what he told?
That would be amazing.
You know what he told him?
No, he puts it on like black on roulette. You know, no, like black.
Nothing.
Black. No,
he's million on black. After he won it, he turned to.
He went to the Britney Spears slot machine.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm putting it all on that hit me baby one more time slot machine over there.
No, he's like, Vegas stinks. I'm coming back to Chicago to go to the masseuse place on Milwaukee Avenue. That's next to WSBC.
Yeah. They got tons of those in Vegas. Yeah. No doubt about that. So that was interesting news for me this week.
Very cool.
I had an extra long day today.
I know. It was
BNI.
BNI.
Yeah. Why do you say
would
it like that?
Would you have a BNI meeting today?
I got a BNI.
Yeah. We made it like Southern Hillbilly.
Another BNI.
Yeah. Honey, I'm real tired. Well, I had a BNI.
Well, we're back to it. I don't think we had mentioned that. Nobody had done anything Southern for a few weeks.
Got a BNI down.
We just broke the streak.
BNI down in Houston next week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My only beef with Hillary Clinton is she's got us all going to these BNIs.
That's the only thing. Yeah. Other than that, she's super.
Yeah. Feds know everything about the BNI. You know, she's been hiding that BNI.
Okay, so you went to this BNI, yeah. So in other words, you're telling me you're tired, right?
Yeah, I'm tired. I got this giant Red Bull in front of me here trying to power through.
I don't see it.
That's what's over here because we're not supposed to have drinks in the studio.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So
your bottle off the table,
no,
Bill.
No, it's in the doorway.
Drinking your big bull, huh?
My big bull.
Yeah. Good for you, man. The bull. I have to start thinking of a nickname. I cannot drink that stuff.
Not at all?
No. Not even. I guess if I've had a few pops and somebody goes, you want an O-bomb?
Sure. O-bomb? I've seen you take about 7 or 8 O-bombs. Not a O-bomb.
Yeah, you don't take one of anything.
No,
you're right.
Whether it's Skittles, O-bombs.
Does that sound ridiculous coming out of your mouth? Like, oh, man, I was out last night, had a few beers, like 10 O-bombs. Oh, good
yes,
for you.
Yes, it does.
O-bomb.
Especially when you're 37 years old.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Great times.
Great times at 60 O-bombs.
Mommy,
drove my Cadillac into a river.
What's wrong with Daddy? He was out. He was slurping O-bombs all night.
He had like 6 O-bombs at dinner. He threw up at Benihana's.
Can you imagine seeing that?
Like my wife wants to go to Benihana real bad. Out of the blue, she said it to me the other day. I've always wanted to take the kids to Benihana.
Like, they chop up everything real nice?
Because there's a guy who goes...
Yeah, my kid would like that. I don't know. He'd probably try and crawl onto the grill.
That's what I'm worried about, too. I'm like, nah, we can get Chinese food anyway.
Wait till they're 15.
You know?
Yeah.
What is Benihana? It's what kind of... It's Asian
cuisine.
It's really good. And it's like a show, but it's like, you know...
Oh, Benihana! Oh, Benihana!
Take your kids to Chuck E. Cheese.
Nick Benihana's.
You go to Chuck E. Cheese at all?
No.
Yeah, we've talked. I've been to Little Vegas. I've never been to Chuck E. Cheese.
Not about Little Vegas. Yeah, right near the Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese had good pizza, didn't they?
I don't remember. No, it's not. It's like Tombstone with a thicker crust to it.
It's like That's good to me.
It's like a DiGiorno.
It's no Papa John's. Better ingredients, better pizza. Come on.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We just give them a free ad? I don't know about that.
Don't give them anything.
God, the Papa John's guy is bizarre to me.
It's bizarre that pizza has like swept the nation because of dog crap.
Well, I just had this conversation recently, is that we are accustomed, we're in pizza land. We live in pizza land.
And Papa John's is like 2,000th on the list in this town alone.
I remember as a kid, the first time I ever had Papa John's pizza.
It was college, right?
Yeah, I went to Notre Dame football camp.
It's college for me. They had one up at Marquette.
And the sauce is bad, and they had banana peppers.
It's ketchup. White. It's ketchup and cheese. It's ketchup and like craft cheddar cheese in this shape. But anyway, all the hicks that were like up from like, you know, Shreveport, Louisiana, and like all these other places that were there getting recruited for football.
Right, yeah.
Like at the end of the night, they were like, all right, everybody, huddle up in the cafeteria. We got pizza. You know, and we're like, oh, cool, pizza, you know, and it was like hundreds of Papa John's. Like, that's all they had in like South Bend, I guess, you know, it was like, really? Yeah. South Bend, all you have is Papa John's. And the hillbillies were like, this
big farm boys.
It was like the greatest meal of their life. It was like the Last Supper. You know, they're like, this pizza is amazing. Papa John's, oh, man. You know, and so I can see where it's taken off, you know.
Yeah.
I understand that Trump is considering having Papa John to be his
vice president.
Vice president. Ladies and gentlemen, Vice President Papa John.
Free pizza for everybody.
Right. Tell them that they're going to get pizza. Everybody, shut up. You're all getting pizza.
You're all getting free pizza, except there's a $40 delivery
charge.
When
we're done building the wall, I know you guys are going to be sweaty and hot, but we got pizza for everybody.
We're giving all the workers pizza. It's going to be fine.
Right. Everyone's getting Papa John's.
You're going to work 18-hour days building the wall. We're
going to
get pizza.
Listen, it's good. It's American. It's better ingredients. It's better pizza. It's better than what you're used to.
We're going to give them pizza.
Than what you're used to. It's probably better than what you're used to.
We'll give them pizza and Flint water.
Right.
It'll be fine. Oh, man. We'll all be up in about 2 weeks.
Looks like Hillary's in.
Yeah, it does. It looks like she's going to be the nominee. Although Bernie has yet to concede, and he's not going to drop out. But
I like that he's not dropping out. Some of the Democrats are very, you know, and I'm liberal on a lot of issues as well, but many of them are mad that Bernie is not bowing out, and I don't think he should.
I will never give up.
Apparently, I don't know. I think he's going
to like Stallone.
I think he's meeting with Obama at some point this week. I think I heard that on the in the press today. Actually, I was watching Chicago Tonight, and they were talking about it. But
Phil Ponte?
Philip Ponce.
Ladies and gentlemen, Philip Ponce.
Yes, they were talking
Phil
about
Ponce.
He had a
six of my kids all work in television.
They're like the
guy, first family
the mafia
of Chicago,
of Chicago TV.
Yeah.
The Ponces. You can't badmouth them.
Mr. Madigan, the Ponces are outside. They'd like you to answer a few questions. Can you come outside? The Ponces was outside.
They all have Tommy guns.
Mr. Cullerton, can you talk to the Ponces?
The Ponces
outside.
Like a few words, like please. Yeah, that's kind of funny. Actually, Cullerton kind of...
The Chicago Police raided the headquarters of the Ponces last weekend.
Mm-hmm. Cullerton kind of cracked me up today because it was the first time ever I had seen him kind of like snap at a reporter, and it did make me kind of laugh. They were talking about all the crazy budgets that are going down in Springfield and how they can't get anything passed.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Madigan and Cullerton should be held liable for that. It's ridiculous.
Let's get it done. Come on.
Yeah.
How hard can it be?
Other than politics, I mean, we could talk a little bit more about politics, but apparently President Obama wants to sit with Bernie and discuss, you know, hey, look, you know.
Time to lay down.
Well, let's unite as a party here. Come on, you know, Bernie. Don't try to, in other words, ruin the election for the Democrats by prolonging this and alienating your supporters.
Right.
But see, that's just it. I don't think Bernie has ever identified himself as a party man. He hasn't. He doesn't care.
Right.
No. So he's like, yeah, I was running as a Democrat because I could, but I don't care. I'm a socialist. We already know that. You know, like, why does it matter for me to have to align with Hillary Clinton?
But they don't everyone doesn't want Trump to win, so that's their common ground.
Right. Not everybody doesn't want Trump to win. Half the country wants Trump to win.
Well, I'm saying, out of those people,
they want that Papa John's.
Sanders, Clinton, and Obama all have that in common.
Yeah.
And I heard today that Clinton might choose possibly Elizabeth Warren as a.
I don't think
so
that's
be too broad.
I don't know if that's a smart move on her end. I mean, I know a lot of people like
it's fine with me.
People in the the Democratic Party like
no pizza,
Emily
though.
Warren. Elizabeth Warren. Yeah. Emily Warren. That's what
call
I was going to
call her.
Excuse me, Emily Warren? My name is Elizabeth. Sorry.
Trump's going to just...
I got some Zal over here.
And then this Elizabeth Emily Warren person.
You got these two broads running. They're not offering any...
Warren.
They're not offering any pizza to anyone. This is absurd.
They've been eating all the good pizza. Hogging it. You know, for all the pizza that I rationed to all you guys, there were, you know, obviously all that's left now is the pineapple and the crappy
and the
pepper,
banana peppers.
And the banana pepper pepperoni combo. Nobody wants it because these two people over here decided to eat all the sausage early.
I'd love to take Trump's pizza away from him.
Don't touch my Papa John's ever.
What do you think his favorite food is?
Steak.
No.
We already know that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's got the Trump steaks. What if you just said White Castle?
Are the Trump steaks shaped as like little dollar signs? The meat?
No. They're
shaped as his head.
Would it make everybody feel better if I took my Trump steak brand and just made tacos for everybody? We'll ration out steak tacos.
You know,
filet mignon steak tacos for all you workers.
Remember the comic book Richie Rich?
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about this.
Well, did they ever have a series within the comic book about Richie Rich, you know, like becoming president, like trying to become president? I mean, that's what this seems like. It seems like everything we're watching in reality seems like
Well, now everyone's defecting. You got that Mark Kirk, he's mad at Trump because of the remarks that Trump
and
said
Paul
about,
Ryan is,
about
like
the
him.
Supreme Court justice.
It hasn't even started yet. All the craziness hasn't even begun yet.
It's going to get interesting.
It's going to get ugly.
Yes, it is, which actually... As an American, it saddens me that our country is going to...
Yeah, think about people around the world. They must be like, this is a circus. These people are all morons.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if they do feel that. I think, you know, it's a circus everywhere.
Hey, getting
it's
back...
Politics.
Yeah, but, like, the top headlines in the U.S. are, like, Kardashians, Trump, McDonald's.
It
comes back to this. And
LeBron James.
Yeah, right.
I forget who told me this. It might have been my Uncle John. I can't remember. But when 9/11 happened, all right?
Yeah.
He was like, you know why it happened?
Why?
And I was like, why? He was like, it's Baywatch's fault. It's all because of Baywatch. That's all they get in the Middle East is like Baywatch episodes and reruns.
It's just torture.
That's what they that's what American that's what symbolizes America to them, and they're like, ugh, you know. And I would probably have a little
a bad
problem. Taste in my mouth with America if I had well, Baywatch is, you know, I could deal with Baywatch, you know, but...
Baywatch, by the way, is they're making the Baywatch the film now with...
Oh, Paramount, all right.
I mean, they're spending a ton of dough on this. They're shooting it down in Miami. The Rock is playing the Hasselhoff
Sumner
character.
Redstone is trying
The Rock is playing Hasselhoff.
The Rock is playing Hasselhoff, and Zac Efron plays the David
Hobie?
Charvet.
He plays Hobie.
No, he plays the David Charvet
who
character. I don't know who...
Frankie Muniz?
Frankie Muniz
is playing a 16-year-old kid.
Hobie Buchanan, played by Frankie Muniz.
My daughter watches this show on the Disney Channel. I think it's Disney, or it's called Kickin' It. Right?
Yeah,
you ever hear this?
No,
it's like a karate themed show. You know,
okay. Okay.
I tell you, those kids in that darn karate.
They love karate.
Yeah. Make a show about karate. Doesn't matter if it's funny. No matter.
What's this script about on
anyway,
my desk?
Anyway,
karate
a...
show?
Mm-hmm.
Sign them up.
Green light this now.
Get these people in here tonight.
Put everybody in karate gis and have people kicking a lot and maybe a couple of punchlines and lots of pizza. Kids like pizza. Put pizza. Maybe they hang at a pizza parlor.
Here's the check for $15 million.
When they're not doing karate, they all go to a pizza parlor and talk more about karate.
That's not bad.
And it'll be a big hit.
It's called Slice.
There's a guy.
It's called Slice.
Yeah, we'll call the show Slice. there's a guy on the show, all right?
Yeah.
Who I was like, oh, like, this guy's got to be like, I don't know how old he is. Maybe he's like 21 or something. But he's like, he's older than all the kids. And he's sort of like their karate instructor.
Right.
IMDB him.
Okay.
Know? I like to do that from time to time.
Yeah, I know you do.
The guy's 39 years old.
All right.
And his role previously before this was he played a 16-year-old boy on the Hannah Montana series.
Nice.
He's playing a 16-year-old when he was like 36 years old.
That's my dream.
Let's age well, man. Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
You know? I don't mean, when I was in Tapioca, our film, I was
a
25-year-old man playing like a 15-year-old kid.
Yeah.
But that was for comic element. I mean, like, it wasn't like I was actually trying to look like...
Right, you know. Right.
I'm not even going to get into acting until I'm, like, 55.
Right.
And then I'm going to do, like, all the...
LaVitra and Cialis commercials.
Yeah, or even, just Ace Hardware commercials, whatever. You know?
What? I love those.
Be, like, fixing a truck in an Ace Hardware. You know, like, when you need a new wrench,
you know what commercials
Ace.
I do like right now? Are those...
You got to be, like, a handsome, ripped kind of guy
those,
with
yeah,
white
yeah.
hair.
Yeah, I'm going to be that guy.
Those Jim Gaffigan commercials are pretty good for the...
Yeah, yeah, when he's parking the car.
That one's funny, where he's, like, talking about beating his kids all the time in tennis, but the best one is when he's, like, looking out his front window and he sees, like... You know, the women of the neighborhood. And
oh,
he's
yeah.
Like, I wonder what he jives. And he's like talking to them and making up their conversation. That's fantastic. That's gold right there,
see,
Mr.
See, like,
Gaffigan.
He's been in comedy for like 35 years and he's just getting that commercial.
He just, yeah, mm-hmm. You're right. But now he's. What happened with Norm MacDonald? He was playing the Colonel.
Yeah, the Colonel's been fired
sudden,
numerous times.
And all of a sudden, Gaffigan's playing the Colonel.
Yeah.
They can't figure that out.
Footcone was the ad agency that had that account. I don't know.
Did Norm MacDonald. Get somebody mad or say something that
I'm
he shouldn't
sure
have.
He did. It's in his nature, you know. Anyway, speaking of commercials, I think we should go to a quick commercial break. This is the Hoolies Hoolie. We'll be back after this quick message.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame. Played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Sure, he's won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
A vending machine? Sure. A parking meter? Okay. A slot machine? That's kind of the point. There are some machines that you have to pay to use. An ATM shouldn't be one of them. With total access checking from your Wintrust Community Bank, every ATM nationwide is free, even ones outside the network. With the fees you'll save, go on, buy a candy bar from that vending machine. Get our total access special offer at wintrust.com/TAC. Members FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
And we're back, 12:40 a.m. Yeah. This is the Hooli's Hooli. Hey, listen, there's still time to sign up for the Francis O'Neill Irish Arts Week for kids and adults. Join the Irish Music School of Chicago for their 6th annual Francis O'Neill Irish Arts Week. It's June 26th through July 2nd, and it's back at the Irish American Heritage Center. This week brings in master teachers from Ireland and across the U.S. to teach traditional Irish music, singing, and dance to children and adults. There is no experience necessary, and everyone can participate. Kids as young as 4 years old can participate in the Kids' Day Camp, where they will learn Irish music, singing, dancing, arts and crafts, and Gaelic sports. There's a performance, a special performance group for teens, and many adult workshops available too. Give your kid and yourself a fun summer to remember and a leg up on becoming the next Liz Carroll, Michael Flatley, or Sharon Shannon. There's a $30 discount on Kids Day Camp or adult packages by entering the discount code HOOLEY, H-O-O-L-E-Y. For all event information, visit irishmusicschool.org or call Kathy at 773-412-5082. That's going to be fun. I'm getting my daughter Charlotte in that.
Nice.
She's going to have fun.
Yeah.
So that's if you're looking to get your kid into something this summer, there's an excellent opportunity to nourish a young mind into the Irish arts and culture.
Playing the flute around your house all day.
Playing the tin whistle. I can think of a lot of worse other things.
I had a tin whistle when I was a kid.
Yeah, I think a lot of Irish families did.
Yeah.
I did, and I used to go...
Used to drive dad crazy.
I couldn't really play it very well. It just drove people nuts. But I did fool around on it quite a bit.
I think Charlotte would like playing the tin whistle.
Sure, why not? Yeah. Learn your tin whistle. Work at it.
Hey, I don't know if you guys had an opportunity to look in the Trib the other day, but...
Yes. Hogan?
Yeah, Rick Hogan did. Actually, it was today. I think it came out Wednesday. But, he gave a glowing review for the film Older Than Ireland, which chronicles 30 different people who I think are, what is it, over close to 100 years old?
Yeah.
And it was about their experience, about experiences, how they lived through the, you know, the Irish freedom.
Yeah, exactly.
And their perspectives on what it was like before that and what it's like today. Very cool film, directed by Alex Fagan. It chronicles 22 women and 8 men. It looks like a really fun film to go check out.
Right.
You know, it's not necessarily, they say this
movie. It's at the Landmark Century right now, I believe. this week. I believe that's where it's screening. That's where COVID saw it.
It is. It's at the Landmark Century, yes.
Nice. Yep.
So, yeah, if you get a chance, go check it out. I mean, it opens this Friday, actually. So it's airing. It opened last night for radio listeners. But
4 stars.
4 stars by Rick Hogan. Pretty cool. It's a little more than 118 minutes. So not too long.
No, not at all.
I mean, it's a two-hour film. But I can't wait to go see it.
It's better than Ghostbusters.
Yeah. And then...
the new Ghostbusters.
You know, it gets me thinking...
Yeah,
you know,
that's ramping up.
But our own film festival is not too far away. I mean, when you think about it, we're going to be gearing up in October again for the second annual Irish-American Movie Hooli.
Beautiful.
So, you know, I'll have a lot more information on that pretty soon, I think. I think probably by July we should have all the films finalized.
Yeah.
So, yeah, keep your ears open for that one. Join us at the Gene Siskel Film Center in October for the second annual Irish-American Movie Hooli. And if you get a chance, go check out Older Than Ireland this weekend. Tonight, maybe tomorrow, Sunday, a little Sunday matinee over there at the Landmark Century. Cool thing to do on a...
Clay, while
it's
we're...
supposed to be really, really hot tomorrow, too.
Yeah, obnoxiously
hot.
So,
I mean, if you just want to stay inside and get some air conditioning...
It's in a cool theater.
That would be a great thing to do. So go check it out, yeah.
Patty.
Or just, you know, find a union to join, get some Papa John's.
Absolutely.
You can do all kinds of cool stuff when it's hot out.
Or you can just go watch the Sox. Stinky. Again.
Horrible. Getting
or James smoked. Shields. He got smoked tonight. Seven runs in the first. It's like unbelievable.
In the first inning?
Second inning.
Yeah.
Seven runs.
They're this is Wednesday night, but yes, he's...
I don't even watch it.
So, after tonight, the Sox will probably fall below 500 for the first time this season.
They'll fire what's-his-face midseason.
They have to.
I don't think the Sox have never fired a manager midseason.
Right. No.
Tony La Russa? Russo get fired?
No, didn't they fire, was it Jeff Torborg, and then they brought in Terry Boom Boom Bevington for that season?
Oh, you might be right about that.
Or was it Gene Lamont? One of them got canned midseason. Or was it maybe Jim Fergusi? I can't keep track of who it was.
The failed White Sox managers?
Yeah, there's quite a few of them, along with many failed Cubs managers. But this year, I don't know about these Cubs, man. They are unbelievable.
They're playing 700 baseball
right
now.
They're on pace to win 130 ball games.
They're not going to win the World Series.
No, the Sox will.
The Sox are going to win the series, though.
Yep.
He's changing his mind. The Sox are going to win the series.
The Sox are going to make the most remarkable comeback you'll ever see.
Well, you heard it here first. If that does happen from Clay O'Brien's his lips.
No, we were talking about movies. Recently I've gotten on a William Friedkin kick again.
Oh yeah, I love William Friedkin.
He's one of my top guys, Chicago director.
You actually gave me a ride the other night, and you were listening to the Live and Die in L.A. soundtrack.
Done by Wang Chung.
Yeah, it's a great
it's
soundtrack.
An excellent soundtrack. I might have to play a little teaser of that before we end the show tonight. But one of the things, so To Live and Die in L.A. is probably my favorite cop movie ever made. It's about a counterfeiter.
Right.
All right, named Rick Masters.
Yeah.
And Billy Peterson's in it.
He plays William Chance.
Yeah. And Chicago, John Pankow from Chicago, Notre Dame Niles grad. He's in it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I listened to a couple of interviews with Friedkin recently and talking about his process, and super interesting. I love his approach. But after doing a little research, it comes out he's rebooting it. WGN has ordered it. Apparently, and this is old. This is from last summer, but this, I just read it. He's teaming up with Bobby Maresco, the guy who wrote Crash and Fargo. MGM Television is going to produce it with Tribune Studios. They're going to do a series of To Live and Die in L.A.
Oh, very cool.
Which sounds pretty awesome. I don't know, I don't know if it's obviously based on
Is Bill Peterson
the
coming back to revise his role? He gets blown away in the movie in the end.
Oh, thanks for giving away to everybody.
Yeah,
it's probably one of the best neo-noir films we've made in the 80s, for sure. But I'm excited for that. I want to be in it.
Let's try.
Whenever I hear about stuff like that, I'm like, you got to be kidding
me. Send them your...
You know what made me think of it, Clay? It was around this time last
summer.
Send
them your Burger King audition tape.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Best
I've
ever had.
You'll get the role, for sure.
The 2-off beef patties and a sesame seed bun. I mean, that's forget it. Yeah, Whoppers are good.
Flame broiled, whatever. Your way.
You'd have to listen to a past few episodes to understand what these two gentlemen are
talking
about.
That's right. You can find our past episodes, by the way, on freecrack.com.
Yeah.
CRAIC.
When you find it, you'll chuckle.
Yep.
Yes.
Clay.
Yeah.
around this time last summer, we were writing a show together.
Correct.
Called Drow City.
Right.
And it was a very gritty cop.
Cop gang show.
Chicago cop-centric gang show.
Yep, like The Wire.
And obviously, Friedkin would be the guy that I'd always like want to take.
Why don't you
to.
Send it to him?
I think I will.
Do it.
He's older now, but I know that he loves, you know, that's the genre and world that he works in. But anyway, that's what got me thinking about Friedkin again. Like I found that script when I was moving recently, reread it after a year. And it's funny, you like get wrapped up into something and then you put it down for a year and I'm like, hey, this is pretty good. I forgot about this. And it's still, and what were the notes that we got from ICM that they came back? They requested a rewrite for it or something?
Yeah, they just nice about like it. A more central event to they, take that, place.
Didn't they say it was like too gritty for him at the time because of like everything that was going on? This was pre Laquan McDonald.
This is pre Chirac.
And it had all that element in the script already. And we were like, yeah they don't want to talk about it. And now
like, you need one a major event that the whole thing. Story should have revolved around. I'm like, well,
okay.
I guess that's it now, right? Laquan McDonald.
Well, I mean, I'm like, that's every show ever. I'm like, Chicago's not about one event. There's a lot of different things going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's like 50 events every weekend.
Look what they've done with Chicago Fire. Look what they've done with Chicago Med, Chicago, you know, PD. I mean,
Chicago Pizza is the next one.
Chicago Pizza, starring Donald Trump,
starring Papa John.
The Bertolli family.
Which is a great pizza.
Chicago Pizza, this series, starring Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. They're like a married couple on the Northwest Side.
What?
That hate each other, and they hate, and they're like, you know, the only reason they stay married is...
they both love pizza.
They both love pizza. I don't know. It's so ridiculous.
You know what I would do to that script?
What's that?
You poop on it.
No, I would have to dump some Fresh Wave all over it. You know why?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're in the old country with no snakes or the city of big shoulders. We live in a world full of terrible smells like skunks and sports gear, baby diapers and cigarette smoke, unshowered CTA riders, and worse. So when the stink gets too strong, turn to the power of Fresh Wave natural odor eliminators. Fresh Wave products eliminate odors without the use of toxic chemicals or masking fragrances. Inside, you'll just find plant oils and water, naturally destroying bad smells at a molecular level. Fresh Wave is safe to use anytime, anywhere, on any odor imaginable. So ditch those air fresheners full of harsh ingredients and phony floral smells. Choose natural odor eliminators from Fresh Wave. Available at Bed Bath & Beyond, Ace Hardware, Whole Foods, and the Container Store. To learn more about Fresh Wave and to find your nearest Fresh Wave retailer, visit FreshWaveWorks.com today.
Fresh Wave.
Fresh Wave, baby.
Love that stuff. Got it in my car right now.
And if you have crappy script, you can spray it with Fresh Wave.
That's right. Yeah.
What do you got rounded up for the weekend here, Bill?
You know, this is going to be back-to-back weeks where I'm working all weekend.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah. But then I have the following weekend off, which will be nice and relaxing. I'm looking forward to that. I've yet to use any of my vacation time up, but...
how much do you have saved up?
I got a little over 2.5 weeks.
That's a lot.
So I'm thinking maybe just August. Just
where are you
going to
go?
Man. I don't think I'm going to go anywhere. I'm going to Nashville on a work trip in July, and that should be cool.
Go to Tokyo.
I don't know. I thought about maybe flying out to LA.
What are you doing for your vacation?
Weekend.
Going to Tokyo.
Thought about maybe
2 weeks.
Thought about maybe going out to San Fran.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah, I've never been out there.
That's a good time.
Jimmy Burke's been trying to drag me out there for a weekend. And it'd be cool to kind of check out some of the wine country up there in Napa and see some of the brands that I sell.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. But I don't know. Man.
You can go to the Full House. The house.
Go see Danny Tanner and the rest of the crew.
I guess Stamos goes there all the time.
Really?
And it's just like, I can't believe this is the house. And like all the dummies are standing around. They're like, yeah, it is. And they don't know it's him.
Are you talking about the house at the beginning of Full House?
Yeah, in San Francisco. He goes there. And when there's like,
and like chills on the front
a tourist
porch.
Attraction.
So
he walks up and plays fun.
I can't think of a worse thing to do on vacation, you know?
Go see a Full House.
Get the kids and get them in the car. We're going to see the Full House house.
No.
We're going to see the Full House house. What'd you do while you're Frisco? We got some Chinese food. We went
to
see the Full House house.
Take them to see Tony Accardo's house. It's more impressive.
That is the Full House house.
That's right. The Full House house.
Well, I want to remind our listeners that The Crack with Cooney and Keene is the program that follows this one. Please stick around and
you know what we didn't.
That.
You know what we didn't say?
What?
We didn't say anything about the passing of Muhammad Ali.
Oh, my goodness.
So what a terrible, sad loss
for the greatest.
the greatest. Best of all time.
Yeah. So my condolences go out to Mike Joyce, Pickle Joyce, who's married, obviously, to Muhammad's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this can't be easy for their family to go through this right now, losing such an impactful person on American society and their dad, you know? So,
sure.
Sad day for America, the loss of Muhammad Ali. God bless him. Godspeed.
Right.
There'll never be another one like him. And he was, you know, he was Irish, too. A lot of people didn't know that.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, this has been the Hooli's Hooli. We're going to cut to a promo here. This is This Week in Ireland, 1916, summer portion. Have a great week.
1916, 100 years ago, Ireland. Gates and O'Casey captured the fervor of a nation, standing up once again to tyrants and declaring to the world their independence. Patriots proclaimed it.
To the people of Ireland, Irish men and Irish women, in the name of God and of the dead generations from which she receives her old tradition of nationhood, Ireland, through us, summons her children to her flag and strikes for her freedom.
The Irish Revolution was thousands of years in the making. The Patriots slain in Dublin that Easter Monday in the GPO, and those later executed, were certainly not the first to die for Ireland, nor would they be the last. But their intrepid spirit forever changed our nation.
We declare the right of the people of Ireland to the ownership of Ireland and to the unfettered control of Irish destinies to be sovereign and indefeasible. The long usurpation of that right by a foreign people and government has not extinguished the right, nor can it ever be extinguished except by the destruction of the Irish people. In every generation, the Irish people have asserted their right to national freedom and sovereignty. Six times during the past 300 years, they have asserted it in arms. Standing on that fundamental right and again asserting it in arms in the face of the world, we hereby proclaim the Irish Republic as a sovereign independent state, and we pledge our lives and the lives of our comrades in arms to the cause of its freedom, of its welfare, and of its exaltation among the nations.
The rebels were small in number, young and inexperienced in battle, but their mettle was endowed by an old ally.
We place the cause of the Irish Republic under the protection of the Most High God, whose blessing we invoke upon our arms. And we pray that no one who serves that cause will dishonor it by cowardice, inhumanity, or rapine. In this supreme hour, the Irish nation must, by its valor and discipline, and by the readiness of its children to sacrifice themselves for the common good, prove itself worthy of the august destiny to which it is called. Signed on behalf of the Provisional Government, Thomas J. Clark, Sean McDermott, Thomas McDonough, P. H. Pierce, Eamon Piant, James Connolly, Joseph Plunkett.
Hibernian Transmedia NFP and I Am Ireland with Paddy Holman present Today in 1916, a once-a-month special report on the historical events in and around the Irish Revolution.
June 1916. Paddy, a lot happening now is all repercussions of the Rising. I know that Tom Clark's widow was assigned by him to be the official keeper of the flame, and she sent out a communique that said that it was only the first blow.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And you know, sending it out that this is only the beginning and not the end. But again, you know, Clark looking to Manon Héireann, the women of Ireland, as the, you know, the real movers and shakers in the background. And, you know, the role of women in the 1916 Rising cannot be underestimated. I was at the Clan na Gael dinner there not too long ago.
Yeah.
at the Irish Heritage Centre, and it was a great source of pride to see all the women they had brought out their murals of the different people that were involved. And one of them in particular, there was a lady called Rosie Hackett, and Mark Hackett, the barman.
Oh, Mark,
that's
sure.
That's his great grand aunt.
Really?
Is it unbelievable?
He's from Drogheda.
Yeah, Drogheda, yeah, yeah. So, you know, just, this is the connection. And the women were like the people who were communicating the messages. So they were on the bikes, they were cycling around, they were, you know, taking on a lot of incredibly important roles, again, all for Ireland. Did all for Ireland.
They were definitely partners in the revolution. It even says in the proclamation, men and women of Ireland. That's all we have time for today on Today in 1916. We encourage you to learn more about your history and heritage, particularly during this centennial year. Tune in next month for more historical facts on Today in 1916. And for an entertaining look at the story of Ireland and song through history, you should definitely see Paddy Homan's terrific one-man show, I Am Ireland. You've been listening to Today in 1916, presented by Hibernian Transmedia NFP and the I Am Ireland show with Paddy Homan. Funding for this program was provided by Hibernian Transmedia NFP and the Ireland 2016 Global and Diaspora Fund through the Consulate General of Ireland, Chicago. For more info, please visit HibernianTransmedia.org.
And I dreamed I yet might see our fetters rending.